Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Live in the freedom that God loves you unconditionally.
And He loves you unconditionally.
God's love for you is unconditional.
Preaching that God loves you unconditionally is the wrong message.
God has a good will towards everybody, believers and non-believers.
But there is another love reserved only for those who embrace the gospel and put their trust in Jesus as Lord and Savior.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Why the Bible is better. Again, this is Wretched Radio. Question, how do you change? How do you become different? More specifically, how do you become better? Becoming more sinful, that's easy. How do you become a better version of you? That is the question that does not get answered by a raging trend. Don't you worry, you're going to hear about it soon. I'm quite convinced of it. It is called polyvagal theory. Started talking about this yesterday on Wretched Radio. This is a secular, it really should be called polyvagal idea, because I'm not even sure it rises to the level of theory, because it isn't testable, provable. There's nothing scientific about it. And it just feels like another fruit of postmodernism, specifically expressive postmodernism. You, nothing is wrong with you. If you're experiencing difficulty in life, it's everybody else, but it certainly isn't you. What is polyvagal theory? Well, you've got this big old nerve that runs from your noggin to the bottom of your feet that wanders throughout your body. What does it do? It alarms you when there is danger. It alerts you to a not safe situation. Wow, didn't we get addicted to safety? It still lingers. We never, prior to COVID, when you parted company with somebody, you never said, stay safe, stay safe. Boy, it was COVID that just put the high alert on safety. We got to be safe. And that's what polyvagal theory is about. When you don't feel safe, that nervous system, it fires and it shuts you down, or it puts you on high alert, or it causes you to act out. It's being implemented in schools. But of course, we don't have authority over children to get them to memorize their times tables. No, we have to just keep our hands off of them and let them self-direct. Well, the result of that is they're little sinners and they're not always going to be happy running the place. In fact, they're usually going to be miserable running the place. And so taking discipline out of the school system, teachers are so vulnerable. And you've heard perhaps story after story of these poor teachers that the kids, they're awful toward them. And so there's an effort now to kind of get the kids under control. Well, we can't do it by ever being heavy-handed. And so we've created things like mindfulness, timeout rooms, and now polyvagal theory, which blames your bad behavior on your environment. If there's something going firing wrong inside of you, you're not to blame. You're just being alerted to the fact that there's something bad out there. In other words, you don't take responsibility for your behavior. The problem is not in you. The problem is external. It's outside of you. So if we can merely control the environment, you're going to be happy. You're going to be safe. You're going to become a better version of you. Problem is, it's just not biblical. We do need to note, there is, it's barely an ounce, but there is perhaps an ounce of truth in polyvagal theory. Of course, your insides are going to react to what's going on in the outside. Nobody denies that, whatever it happens to be. Those things are normal. They're very human. But where polyvagal theory just collapses is that it determines to get your insides to feel better, we got to deal with the outsides. The Bible comes along and says, just like that. It's a Hebrew word, It's not externals. Yes, externals can have an impact on your internals, but they merely reveal what is already there. You act like that because that's you. You don't turn it on and it doesn't come from being in an environment that doesn't smell right or sound right or just feels anxious in the air. Those things don't cause you to sin. They might squeeze you, but only what is in manifests itself on the out. And that's why polyvagal theory is just so deficient in so many ways. A pastor in Custer, South Dakota named Kyle Gangle, he did a presentation at the ACBC conference in Texas, and he also wrote an article. And I got to tell you, I really like this article. It was long because it dealt with what polyvagal is. And then more importantly, what does the Bible say about how we deal when we're feeling on the inside? How do we change? And it shows such a dichotomy between a secular world system that's concocted to get kids to be calmer and to behave better. And believe me, it's coming to adult world soon, versus the Bible. So from this lengthy article, he talks about a judge in Canada who ruled that a father will be guilty of family violence if he refers to his biological daughter using female pronouns, or if he seeks to dissuade her from seeking gender-affirming care. Accusing a father of harm for not affirming his daughter is a result of elevating feelings above reality. So if you do something on the external that causes somebody to be consternated on the internal, that's a crime. It's a crime. That too is a part of expressive postmodernism, because you cannot let anybody, I mean it, you can't let anybody ever make your insides feel anything but joyful and enthusiastic about yourself. And if that happens, if somebody does that, uses words as weapons, well, then they've committed a crime against you. That is a grievous offense to make somebody feel bad. That's a part of expressive postmodernism, but it's also a part of the mindset that is polyvagal-like, that the outsides have got to be controlled so that your insides will feel better. So somebody thinks they're a boy when they're actually a girl. You come along as the parent and say, honey, we're going to go read Genesis, because you're going to see that you were not assigned a gender. You were born a gender. You were knit together as a gender. Well, look out, according to this judge, you do that, you're committing a crime, because feelings are paramount. You cannot rein on anybody's feelings. From the article, the goal of implementing PVT is not necessarily to change your character or thinking. It's to learn to recognize which neuropsychological state you are in, if you recall, there are three, so that you can regulate it. Yikes! If your greatest problem is outside of you, then guess what? The entire world is a threat. Your family, every person, every little autonomous being is a threat. They're a danger. You could collide into them. This does not, as a side effect, it does not foster any sort of human kindness toward one another, when everybody that I run into, they could harm me. If they don't say or do everything that pleases me, that could cause me to have my vasovagal system go off and feel terrible. So it's people become dangerous. Parents, oh, they're terrorists. Any stressful circumstance, that's the problem. That's just not what the Bible teaches. This polyvagal theory says your greatest need is safety. The Bible says, well, your greatest need is to be forgiven by God and to be what? Transformed, renewed. I think there's an underlying supposition to this polyvagal theory. And that is that if all things considered, if your environment were always pleasant, you'd be perfect. If everything were ducky and you always had crispy red grapes in the refrigerator, like I currently do right now, not that I'm thinking about them or being distracted by them because I'm a grape fiend, but if If I've got those, I'd be happy because I don't have any issues. As long as everything out there is satisfactory, I've got no issues because I'm basically good. Kind of a problem. From the article, it's not about changing your character, the PVT. It's not about changing your thinking. It's to learn how to regulate the outsides. Recognizing the state of your nervous system is called nervous system mapping. Oh, must be scientific. You got to evaluate your feelings, your thoughts, your breathing, your heart rate to see what state you're in. And if you discover you're dysregulated, in other words, your nervous system is in fight or flight mode, it's activated, well, then you are experiencing dorsal vagal shutdown. Well, that's got to be scientific. It uses a lot of big words I don't recognize. No, it's not scientific at all. That's just your fight or flight mechanism, which is God-given. They try to make this sound so therapeutic. The dorsal vagal shutdown. You get that sorted, you can engage in activities to regulate yourself and return to the state of ventral vagal social engagement. The Bible speaks a different word. Next on Wretched Radio.
You know what's annoying? Everyone acts like you should just automatically know how to be a man. Like it's supposed to be obvious or something. And then when you're struggling with temptation or you don't know what you're supposed to be doing with your life, they just say, hey, try harder, pray more. Yeah, I'll do that. Okay, thanks for nothing. Well, Dr. Adam Tyson is actually doing something. He's going to tell you the truth. A brand new Fortis Forum that you can find at fortisplus.org. 5 steps to becoming a man after God's own heart. Dr. Tyson's going to give you real answers from the Bible. Not cliches, not go figure it out for yourself, but actual steps that will tell you and teach you how to fight sin with scripture, how to live with purpose instead of just reacting to whatever happens. Here's the best part. He's going to start with the gospel, so you're not trying to earn God's approval. You're going to be living from his approval. It's on Fortis Plus on demand. You can watch whenever you want the Fortis Forum with Dr. Adam Tyson. And it's free because Fortis Plus is free. Hey, if you're tired of guessing what manhood looks like, just go watch it right now. FortisPlus.org. FortisPlus.org.
Is it possible a Christian university can actually be ranked high when it comes to preparing students for the real world? The hat tip to Masters University. You want to send your kids someplace where they actually still teach the Bible? Not just based on a document that they maybe have in a file cabinet someplace, but they actually use the Bible there. The education at the Masters University, not only biblical, but oh so practical. Courses, diplomas, degrees, they can be achieved online or, of course, on their beautiful campus in Southern California. Would you like to learn more about the Masters University to prepare you or your child for the future? I encourage you to visit masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
Let's be honest. You've earned your PhD in couch sitting. You know exactly which cushion has the perfect amount of give. You memorize where the remote lands when you toss it. You are a professional. Well, congratulations. Your expertise just became holy ground. Fortis Plus has officially arrived on your TV. That's right. Your sanctuary of relaxation is now an actual sanctuary. Stream biblical truth without moving a muscle, except maybe your thumb on the remote. Every single resource Fortis Plus produces is now available on that beautiful big screen you justified buying because, well, it was on sale, honey. From your phone to now on your Roku. Samsung, LG, Vizio, Apple TV. Basically, if it has a screen and an internet connection, Fortis Plus is there. It's free to download the app. It's free to stream all of our content, funded by gospel partners who believe your couch time should count for eternity. Go ahead, stay seated, but download Fortis Plus first, because your couch just got promoted.
Important dates in Christian history. 387 AD. Augustine of Hippo is converted. His writings became bedrock for the Middle Ages and were influential in the Reformation. The Confessions and City of God are still read by many. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Oh, Jimmy.
Yes?
Would you happen to have a pillow?
Why do you need a pillow, Todd?
I'm feeling dysregulated, and if I could just punch the pillow, I think that I'd get my system would get back on track, and I'd feel better. That's science. This is Wretched Radio. I'm not kidding. The therapeutic methods that the world concocts to help you to regulate yourself, to feel better. It includes breathing. It includes making sure you're always in a safe space. And if necessary, you can punch a pillow. Or you don't like that. Maybe you want to burn some calories. Run in place. That'll get you re-regulated. Other techniques to help you feel safe and good about you. Upbeat music. Or calming music, depending on whether you need to calm down or get excited. You can go for a walk, meditate, do the yoga. Oh, here's a good one. Tapping various parts of your body for stimulation. Oh, that's why I need a rubber band on my wrist to snap it and bring me back to my senses. This is science? This is theory? No. It's nonsense. It's polyvagal theory. It is sure to be the next great rage in an effort of living in an unregulated society, especially for children, that regulates everything that surrounds our kids so that they feel safe and that they don't become dysregulated. If they do, well, we've got some really good methods to do that. Besides tapping various parts of your body, you can drink caffeine. Well, that's a good one right there. And don't forget the deep breathing. Maybe you need a mantra that you need to repeat over and over again. This is the secular therapeutic, and it is coming to a school near you. All of these little methods and techniques, an attempt to move into the ventral vagal state where you can be happy and calm. This is laughable business, but it's making its way into the education system. So let's evaluate polyvagal theory. This is courtesy of Kyle Gangle from Custer, South Carolina. This theory called polyvagal theory was first proposed in 1994, and it's becoming popular with life coaches and social media influencers and education gurus. From the article, he's quoting a doctor, psychology fads often have little objective scientific research supporting them. PVT has very few empirical studies examining whether applications of polyvagal theory generate measurable positive clinical outcomes. In other words, it hasn't been tested, but hey, if we can give vaccines that haven't been tested, why not try this one out on our kids? Yep, that was a freebie. PVT defines man and his problems apart from a biblically informed view of the body and soul, or the inner man and the outer man. In other words, this is another anthropological mess. Virtually everything that we are seeing in society that makes you go, oh, what is going on, is anthropological. If we had a right understanding that human beings are knit together in their mother's womb by God, abortion is done. Just done, because that's God's handiwork. The whole gender debate, gone. It's clear we've got two distinct genders. This is all anthropological, morals, values, what is best for people. Honestly, even the welfare system, look, we know that there are some people who need help and we're ready to give a hand. But apparently there's an awful lot that are just living on the dole. That's low anthropology, that we let them just do nothing and support it. That's not human flourishing. The homeless problem, that's anthropological, that we fail to realize that there's just better ways of living for human beings, and we happen to know what those are in general. They don't, so we're going to help them out. Anthropology is a massive issue, and PVT does not escape the anthropological debate. Biblical counselors have affirmed inner and outer man influence one another. We get that. Remember the prophet Elijah? He was feeling kind of blue. What did God say to him? Oh, I need to make Israel safe for you. Then you won't feel so bad, Elijah. No, he told him, why don't you sleep and eat? Because you got some physical needs, because it does make a difference. Come on, you're a little bit different when you got a full stomach versus an empty stomach. You get hangry. Well, that's the exchange that takes place. But when it comes to my emotional state, the environment isn't responsible for it. I am. Contrary to a purely materialistic understanding of man, the Bible teaches the inner man and outer man exist in constantly interacting duality. They do affect one another. We don't deny the interplay between body and soul. But the polyvagal theory just stops there. Fix one, you fix the other. That's simply not biblical math. It's common, writes Gengel. It's a common practice for biblical counselors to encourage counselees to set up an appointment with a physician to rule out any physiological problems. We get that. It could be your thyroid. It could be a heart issue. It could be vitamin. You're just low on a vitamin. And those things can be addressed, and it can indeed change your mood. We don't deny that. So you say, what's the problem with polyvagal theory? That's kind of what it's saying. No, it's not kind of saying that. It's saying that those things are responsible for the way that you act or respond. The Bible says, no, you're responsible for the way you act and respond. Yes, externals, they can influence to a degree, but you are responsible. It is the inner man that is the primary issue. The Bible doesn't blame your emotional frustrations, shortcomings on either the brain, your body, or your surroundings. Your sinful thoughts, feelings, behavior, that's all from the inside. The Bible emphasizes the immaterial part of us. You, your soul, what makes you, you, your heart. As goes the heart, so goes the man. As goes the heart, so goes the man. That teaching of Jesus is just different than polyvagal. As goes the nervous system, so goes the man. Do you feel the difference? The Bible says you're responsible. God made your vasovagal system and it serves a purpose. But when it sends an alarm, you're the one who needs to deal with it, not the people surrounding you to relieve you from whatever it is that is causing your vagal system to go, well, I'm dysregulated, which is normal, actually. That's a gift from God that he wired into us rather intricately. The PVT, though, does not deal with the issue remotely similar to the way that the Bible does. It just doesn't even come close from the article. Though there are difficult cases to discern if the inner man or the outer man are the primary issue, the Bible just doesn't let us off the hook. PVT does. And may I ask, how perfect does my surroundings need to be? Can I blame it on the temperature being too warm in here right now? Can I blame it on the fact that I'm looking at this guy through my monitor who looks like he's scowling at me? Oh, that's you, Jimmy. Oh, yeah. I'm blaming it on you.
Okay.
You know, I'm crabby. You're the problem. What I mean, is anybody ever responsible for anything? There's nothing wrong with calming your circumstances. That's kind of common sense, but that doesn't address the heart, sin, anger, doubt, fear. It can, PBT, it can simply be used to excuse sinful responses. My vagal made me do it. How we define our problem, writes Gengel, determines where we look for our solution. If the fundamental problem is we unconsciously feel safe, or not, then we will be forced to look for changes in our bodies, circumstances, or relationships. And if they can't be changed, we're stuck. So if your environment can't be changed, well, you're just a cooked goose. PVT doesn't help you at all. The Bible calls for renewal of the mind, not the regulation of bodily states. It goes after you, the heart of you. The mind is active instead of a passive responder to external stimuli. PBT argues our neurological state drives our thoughts and behaviors. The Bible, in its affirmation of both inner man and outer man, emphasizes our hearts, teaches us our thinking comes first, and then drives our feelings, our actions, and even our physical states. Change starts in the hearts. Okay, change will start in the heart. However you want to rhyme that, the Bible simply has a different way of dealing with your feelings. As you hear more and more about PBT, make sure that you affirm anything that they recognize that is right, which is very little, but reject everything that is wrong, which is a lot. This is Wretched Radio.
And it's now time for your daily Fortis News Break, a production of Fortis Institute. Well, President Trump's tariff strategy seems to be producing real results, starting with Switzerland's agreement to slash its import duties to 15% while pledging $200 billion in U.S. investments by 2028. At least $67 billion arrives next year with massive commitments from pharmaceutical giants, which helps to reduce our deficit in key sectors. South Australia's parliament rejected a bill last week that would have banned abortion after 22 weeks and 6 days, which is the point at which babies routinely survive outside of the womb. Hundreds of pro-lifers gathered outside Parliament House to support the measure, while abortion activists, well, they could only muster a dozen or so the week before. Google filed suit last week exposing a China-based phishing-as-a-service operation called Lighthouse that's targeted over a million Americans with fake texts which claim to be from USPS or EasyPass. I've gotten those. The scheme allows cyber criminals to send mass texts simultaneously, which swindles victims out of millions while compromising an estimated 12.7 to 115 million credit cards nationwide. The scammers even created fake New York City government websites and used Google's logos to steal personal and financial information. If people put this much effort into legitimately doing something good, there could be massive societal advancements. I don't know. Harvard just released a report admitting what everyone already knew, and that's that their grading system has become a joke. Over 60% of grades are now A's, up from roughly a quarter 2 decades ago, with the median GPA climbing from 3.64 to 3.83. You know, when everyone gets an A, no one actually gets an A. Disney CEO Bob Iger revealed the company's in talks with AI firms about letting Disney Plus subscribers generate their own content on the platform using artificial intelligence. Social media erupted at this news, with most agreeing it's a terrible idea and a disgrace to Walt Disney and real animators. One commenter summed it up perfectly, saying, quote, "Imagine going on a years-long losing streak at the box office and thinking the answer was cheaply produced AI slop." You can't really add to that. Texas A&M Regents voted unanimously last week to require college presidents to approve any course pushing race and gender ideology or topics related to sexual orientation and gender identity. The policy comes after an English professor was filmed advocating leftist views in a children's literature course, asking a student who pushed back to leave the lecture. When the videos went public, then-President Mark Welsh told the student there wasn't a problem with LGBT literature as long as students knew it was coming. Welsh resigned 2 weeks later. And that wraps up today's Fortis News Break. I'm Jimmy Hicks. If you want more, you can download Fortis Plus or sign up to become a Fortis Insider for exclusive daily content, both of which you can do at FortisInstitute.org. Also, don't forget, you can subscribe to Fortis News on your favorite podcast app in order to get these updates daily. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.
Know your reformers. Martin Luther was a German monk and professor who was plagued with doubt about his salvation. When he finally read the Bible for himself, he rediscovered the doctrine of justification by grace through faith. His bold witness for biblical truth was the spark that ignited the Protestant Reformation. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Fine, whatever, Great Britain. Just go nuts. That's just fine. Welcome back to Wretched Radio.
Why are you so upset?
Thank you for interrupting me. Finally. I'm sorry. Great Britain. Man, they're just, what they're up to these days. I'm just telling you that much.
So why are you so upset?
Thank This is what happens when you don't make it to rehearsal.
I was late. I'm sorry.
No. So Great Britain, I'm telling you. Oh, what's going on? Oh, what's crapping in here, Greg?
Todd, why are you so upset?
My shoes are too tight. Therefore, I'm crabby because I'm dysregulated because they're really uncomfortable and I have every reason to be dysregulated and crabby and you can't tell me that I'm misbehaving because my shoes are too tight. And you say, well, that's really ridiculous. And I say, that's polyvagal theory. That's exactly what it is. Mom and Dad, I'm telling you, it is going to come home to roost. This secular idea that your externals are to blame for your internal response, you just wait until the kids get weaponized with the polyvagal theory language. And they come home and you want them to mow the lawn. Hey, Jimmy, are you ready for our next dramatic recreation?
Oh, yeah. Yes, yes.
All right. Can I be really sorry for something I haven't done yet? Because just the idea of this is making me kind of feel icky on the inside.
What is it?
You're going to be my dad.
Oh.
Now we both feel icky. And I'm going to be your son.
Okay.
Yep. I'm coming home from school. Uh-huh. And you, dear dad, you want to talk to me about the state of my bedroom. Oh. Right? You ready to go?
Yeah.
Just like we did in rehearsal.
Okay.
Here we go.
All right.
Hey, dad.
Hey, son. How are you? How was your day at school?
Well...
Yeah, okay. Anyway, about that, your bedroom, it's a mess. How did you...
Hey, let's do take two. Let's do that same thing. Okay. All right, ask me about my day. Okay.
Okay.
Hey, Dad.
Hey, son. How was your day at school? Hey, I'm talking to you. Hey, kid. Okay.
How'd I do?
You did great. That's actually spot on.
Well, I don't know. On that one. Yeah. Yeah, how was my day? I'm dysregulated, but that's how it was.
So let's talk about your room. How did you walk out of the house with that disgusting room this morning?
Disgusting. Last night, I wanted to watch that show on Netflix. You wouldn't let me. And I feel oppressed. I feel in danger. You're not safe, Dad. You're just not safe.
And so that's why your room is disgusting?
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah. Because I blame anything on my behavior as long as we believe in polyvagal theory. You're the problem, Pop. You know why my room is messy, Dad? I'm going to tell you. Because of you. Because of you.
Well, let me go clean it up for you.
Furthermore, when I wanted that thing that I wanted for Christmas and you didn't get it for me. My friends got that, and I didn't get that because of you, and I don't feel safe. I'm telling you, wait, it'll be a whole new dictionary, this therapeutic language that we keep creating to describe this feelings-driven society that we live in. When your kids learn the lingo and they come home, rot a rock, Mom and Dad. Rot's a ruck because you're the problem, which it seems the schools these days are more than happy to sing that song, aren't they? The parents are the problem. It's certainly not them. Let's go to Great Britain, shall we? Because initially I did have a bit of a rub with an article that was written in The Federalist. I thought, oh, a little hyperbolic. No, way exaggerated. No, super over the top. Because the headline intrigued me, but I thought, really? This is why you think that Britain, here's the headline, is turning its back on Western civilization. And in many ways, it is, isn't it? That Britain it's like, we hate our past. We want to become this new progressive society. We know that nobody's ever accomplished a good version of it, but they haven't tried it the way that we will. And they are indeed rejecting the... How's about the Anglican king saying prayers with the Roman Catholic Pope? Now, you might think that's right, wrong, or indifferent, but I do think that that's a demonstration that this is a new kind of England where we don't draw those lines anymore. We've erased those because we just know better now. And they're doing that constantly. And speaking of the Anglican Church, if I can... practice some ADHD lack of self-discipline right now. Did you see the N.T. Wright? I think he's got a new book, N.T. Wright. He's an Anglican who is, well, he's so smart. He's just, every time I hear him, I just realize how dumb I am for holding on to traditional understandings. I think his latest thing with his book, I think, he's discovered, we've been such idiots for believing, for instance, that 2 Corinthians 5 is actually about justification. If any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. No, what I've discovered, I don't know what accent this is. What I've discovered is that it doesn't mean what those evangelicals have always thought that it means. It means, and then he has to go on like a 20-minute ramble to explain what it means. Oh, just, that's always a telltale sign, isn't it? When somebody just won't answer the question cleanly, that it's the article that I was reading, N.T. Wright. All right. Jimmy, are you ready for our next dramatic recreation?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Hey, thanks for being a guest on the show, Jimmy. Yeah. Do you believe in biblical inerrancy?
Absolutely.
All righty then, asked and answered. Now let's turn the tables. You're the host of the program, and I am N.T. Wright.
Okay. Go ahead. All right, N.T. Wright, do you believe in biblical inerrancy?
That's an interesting question because the word inerrant, I believe, really manifested itself during the Protestant Reformation in an effort to draw a line of distinction between the interpretive process of the Roman Catholic Church and Protestantism. So, yes, I do believe that there are different ways that we read the Bible.
But do you believe in biblical?
Yeah, exactly my point. Blah, 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 blah. On and on he went with his rambling history of the word inerrant. And then ultimately not really answering the question, which to me is a definitive answer. No, you don't. Because if you did, you wouldn't come up with these ridiculous new interpretations. We're gonna present that, I think, later this week. Because I think he's making the rounds again and he's coming up with his new understandings. And that rule, I'm telling you, it holds fast. If somebody says, I've rediscovered what it really meant originally, look out. You got yourself some fiction coming your way. In Great Britain, we're going to get to this article, Jimmy. Britain is turning its back on Western civilization by the Federalist. Okay, it got my attention, and I said, well, how is it doing it now? Because it's doing it in virtually every other way. According to this author from the Federalist, what is causing Britain to turn its back on Western civilization is cousin marriage. Cousin marriage. I don't know if you heard, but the NHS, their National Health Service, it's not law. But they're now saying, first cousin marriage, we think it's pretty groovy. And I thought, dude, really? You wrote a whole article telling me that's why Britain is turning its back on Western civilization because the National Health Service has now said that there are benefits of first cousin marriage despite the increased risk of birth defects. Oh, man. Apparently, we're not the only ones who are skeptical about our national health institutes. The NHS literally said, we extol the benefits of first cousin marriage despite the birth defects that you could have. You know, the birth defects that come with first cousin marriage. Nevertheless, they're stating that first cousin marriage is linked to stronger extended family support systems and economic advantages. Oh, okay. So why would this author say that this is a turning of the back on Western civilization? Because it is Christianity that said ixnay on first cousin marriage may, that's a big no-no. And historically, that was one of the decisions that radically changed Western civilization. Now, the National Health Service said, yep, we get it. More sickle cell disease. Yep, more cystic fibrosis. But it's more important that we coddle our Pakistani immigrants because they're Muslims who, of course, believe in first cousin marriage. Again, this has not been made law, but it's a hat tip, and that usually signals we're going to start moving in that direction because, hey, if the National Health Service says that it's good, then it must be good because we got to trust the science. despite the fact that the science says it causes way more birth defects and it's not a good thing. But more than that, is it true? Is it possible that the decision to reverse the decision to not have first cousin marriages, let me see if I can straighten out that sentence. For us to say today that the decision that the Western civilization made centuries ago to prohibit first cousin marriage is now good, is that really a sign of a crumbling Western civilization? Next on Wretched Radio.
You know that moment at 3 a.m. when you can't sleep, everything is quiet, and you're alone with the truth about who you really are versus who everyone thinks you are? Your wife trusts you, your kids look up to you, the guys at church think you've got it all together, but you know better. You know the secret battles, the deleted history, the promises you keep breaking to yourself and to God. Here's what took me way too long to figure out. You can't fix a spiritual problem with human solutions. Accountability software won't change your heart. White knuckling it through another week won't either. And Todd Friel is getting to the heart of this issue with his resource, Play the Man. It doesn't give you another list of rules. It shows you how Christ actually changes men from the inside out. How he replaces the wanting, not just the doing. The man your family deserves, that guy is possible, but not through your own strength. It's going to be through the strength of Christ working through you. Play the Man. It's available now as an ebook, an audiobook, and a video series only at fortisplus.org. Because real men know when they need real help. Let me ask you a question. When was the last time you actually felt something? Without fear, without shame, without immediately wanting to numb it. If you're living on autopilot, you're not alone. Millions are told the same thing. It's just a chemical imbalance. Hey, take this, you'll be fine. But you're not fine. You're numb. Here's the truth the world doesn't tell you. Your emotions, they're not the enemy, but they also shouldn't be your master either. Dr. Greg Gifford gets that, and his new series, Life Without the Numb, is available right now at fortisplus.org. It's a free 10-week series that shows how God's Word speaks into anxiety, depression, and emotional chaos, and it does so with clarity you've never heard before. New episodes every Monday, absolutely free at fortisplus.org. This isn't about ignoring struggles. It's about transformation from the inside out. Life Without the Numb. Watch at fortisplus.org. Stop surviving and start living. Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. Oh, you know the feeling. Every morning you wake up and you wonder, how am I going to navigate this weird, crazy, upside down world with biblical wisdom? We should have that thought every day. And that's exactly why Fortis Institute exists. We're your daily partner in standing firm in biblical truth. From our podcasts with Dr. John Kratz to Pastor Brad Bigney to Libby Glosson, Dr. Adam Tyson, Dr. Greg Gifford, and others, we're bringing together voices you can trust. But this doesn't happen by accident. When you become an ongoing monthly gospel partner, you're not just giving money, you're discipling young men struggling with pornography. You're equipping pastors in small rural churches. You're preaching the gospel to students who desperately need to hear it. And by the way, make sure that you grab the Fortis Plus app. It's free for everybody and it's packed with hundreds of hours of content right now, with more being added daily. Because we believe biblical truths should be accessible to everyone. That's why we need you to help push this to the globe. Our work is nowhere near finished. Visit FortisInstitute.org right now to become an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called the firstborn. Jesus was the firstborn from death, resurrected that we may have life, and he is the firstborn over all creation, the preeminent Son, through whom we are adopted as sons and daughters of God the Father. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
This is Wretched Radio. Let me take you back in time for a history lesson on first cousin marriages. That's right, a history lesson on first cousin marriages. The Federalist done got my attention with a headline that said Britain is turning its back on Western civilization because the NHS recently said, you know, on second thought, it's probably good to have first cousin marriages. Yeah, we know that it increases birth defects, but there's an awful lot of people in our country, legally or otherwise, that like first cousin marriages. So we're scared. So we've changed our mind on it. And the Federalist is saying, wow, what a blunder. They wrote this in the Federalist. It's hard to imagine any other issue that so completely encapsulates what's gone wrong in Britain or illustrates how thoroughly the country's ruling elites have turned their back not only on their native population, but on Western civilization itself. That's big language. After all, the prohibition on cousin marriage was one of the early achievements of Christendom that enabled the rise of Western civilization in Europe. Okay, dude. Show me what you got in the 6th and 7th centuries. Amid the collapse of the Roman Empire in the West, the Catholic Church began pushing back on the practice of cousin marriage, consanguinity, among the pagan peoples of Europe, where it was common among Anglo-Saxons and other groups. Pope Gregory the Great banned cousin marriage outright after he became the Pope in 590. And in time, the Catholic Church's prohibition became the cultural norm across the entire continent. Constantine, we adopted these values from the church that simply became society-wide. You just didn't marry your first cousin anymore. The effect of this ban in time would be profound, writes the Federalist. In his best-selling book from 2020, The Weirdest People in the World, the subtitle, How the West Became Psychologically Peculiar and Particularly Prosperous, the author of that book is Joseph Heinrich. He argues by making consanguinity taboo in Europe, the Catholic Church began the process of breaking down the insularity of the various tribes and peoples which had settled in the Roman Empire. In other words, the tight little family unit where the family married the family, it got shattered. They had to go looking elsewhere. In other words, they had to stop being so tribal. They had to start accepting people outside of their own little system and circles. And that, according to this historian, changed the West. By breaking down the insularity of the various tribes which had settled in the land, close-knit family clans caught in cycles of ruinous internecine warfare were forced to marry their sons and daughters to families outside their bloodlines. And that had an effect on enlarging the clans and creating broader networks of mutual trust that fostered peace among newly converted Christian peoples. Now, were there other factors? Yes, of course there were. Is this an oversimplification? Yeah, probably, but nevertheless, you can't overlook it. It simply broke up the West from being so tribal. It forced us to go looking beyond our own door. Well, if they can't marry the cousins, who are they going to marry? And we got to take care of the farm. Let's go play nice with the tribe next door. Let's go be nice to the people in that village so that we can get our sons and daughters married. And that was an advancement for Western civilization, from the article. Banning cousin marriage was arguably one of the foundations of Western civilization, imposed by Christendom on the pagan peoples of Europe for the sake of peace and social cohesion. Bye-bye to that. Courtesy of the National Health Service in Great Britain. Another sign that we are acquiescing. We're giving in. We're acquiescing to external forces and a different religion and a different set of values. In the meantime, let's go across the channel. Not the B reported on. It sounds kind of small because I wasn't familiar with it. It's a group called Enter, ENTR. It's a news outlet from France, Medias Monday, MONDE. It's aimed at a younger audience, but it was a really lengthy piece on trying to figure out why it is that so many French people are becoming evangelicals. Did you ever think I mean, the Roman, France has just been so a-religious for so many centuries. And this news outlet, it's not mainstream media. Nevertheless, it seems somewhat legitimate. It was a well-put-together piece, and they even did a decent job of describing what evangelical Christianity is, that it's about the Bible, it's about grace alone, faith alone. It was said in this news report, but this woman, I watched it. I can't play it for you because so much of it is in French and wouldn't make any sense on radio. But she was just incredulous. A new church in France, a new evangelical church opens every 10 days. Well, then, that's some movement going on in France. And now it's apparently newsworthy enough that they're asking, what are we going to do about these evangelicals because they're so evangelistic? In the meantime, across, let's see, it'd be right next door in Germany. You want to talk about turning your back on Western civilization? Well, here's one for you. Headline, German priest Lena Müller married four men. Not to four women. She married four men. Why? Because there was so much love between them. According to the Times, one of the largest branches of the German Protestant Church has defended a pastor after she blessed a relationship between four men and called the ceremony a marriage in the eyes of God. Sorry, it's not. Have you not read male and female? It's one man, one woman. This was done at St. Paul the Apostle Church in Berlin. The pastrix said, the men had spoken English with one another and seemed radiantly happy together. Oh. Well, then it must be okay. You could see right away that there was so much love between them. Why should God have anything against there being four of them rather than two? Well, let's start with because he said so. Let's start with because that's what's natural. Let's start with that's what's best for children. That's his prescription. Those are his laws. One man, one woman, not four dudes. If everybody were a polycule, where it's four men here and four women there, that would be the last generation of polycules, wouldn't it? Because we wouldn't be making any of them their babies. And speaking of babies, yeah, that was my segue right there.
Pretty good.
Yeah, thank you very much. This is disgusting. IVF embryos turned into jewelry. This industry, by the way, there was another report. Yep, here it is. Number of babies killed annually during IVF is now more than those lost to abortion because you have to fertilize a ton of eggs to do the implantation. And most of those babies don't make it. Here's the statistics. 2.6% of all births in the U.S. are a result of IVF. That's 2023. However, millions of their siblings died during the process. Here's the numbers. 2 million embryos did not survive to be implanted, and another 1.8 million were either frozen, destroyed, donated to research, or released for embryo adoption. In other words, what is being touted as something that's wonderful for human flourishing is extinguishing way more lives than it is created. If you want to hear our whole take on that, we've got those shows archived at fortisinstitute.org. But now people recognizing, okay, it's more than a blob of tissue. They've decided to create a jewelry industry. It's called Blossom Keepsake, based in the United Kingdom, offers couples a gentler way to honor what they've created. Huh, what they've created? It's a blob of tissue. I don't get it. By encasing the embryos of their children into rings, pendants, bracelets, and charms. It also states on the website, it can combine the embryo with other meaningful inclusions to tell the whole story. Choices include breast milk, ashes, hair, umbilical cord, dried flowers, and fabric. This is just utterly revolting, barbaric, and pagan that we are using human life for a knickknack. so that our consciences can be somewhat assuaged by the obvious truth: a fertilized egg is a human being. Turning our back on Western civilization and a whole lot more. Until tomorrow, go serve your king.